Harding.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your mercies. That is speaking great things for us. Thank you for the strength you have given to us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you for the strength to live a righteous and holy life. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to overcome temptations that you have given to us. Thank you for the strength to deny the flesh, to deny our Adamic nature in order to please you. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you for drawing yourself closer to us. Thank you for teaching us your mind. Thank you for showing us your ways. Thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for those revelations that you have given to us to help us understand your will better and to help us understand your personality. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for those things we have learned through these Bible study classes we have been having on this platform for some time now. Thank you, Father. We thank you for how the truths we have learned have shaped our lives into the kind of persons you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn from you again, to learn from your word, from your scriptures. Oh, Lord, minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, give us more of your knowledge and wisdom. In Jesus' name, give us more revelations of you and of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue with our teaching. Last week, we started talking on point number 9, which is a Christian's relationship to government. And we talked extensively on 9A, which is trying to be good citizens and obey the government. Now, we still have like 4 more topics under this point 9. And I'm thinking of, since they are short topics, I'm thinking of teaching all of them at once. Yeah, so that we can move fast, because we still have other topics that we need to learn in these Bible study classes. Yeah, other titles and topics. Yeah, that we still have to discuss. So I'm going to summarize the remaining topics under this point 9. I'm going to summarize them as the Christian's role to the government. The Christian's role to the government. Your duty as a Christian to the government, or to the government in your country. Yeah, your role as a Christian. Your responsibility as a Christian to the government in your country. Yeah, so today's topic is going to be the Christian's role to the government. Yeah, so, and under this topic, we're going to talk on 4 points. Yeah, and then we'll move to, then next week, we'll move to point 10. Yeah, point number 10. So now, we are looking at the Christian's role to the government. The first point I'll talk about is most governments and laws are for our good and protection. Most governments in the nations of the world, and the laws they give or the laws they follow or enforce are for our good and protection. Now let us look at Acts 21, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21. Acts of the Apostles 21, verse 30 to 35. I read Acts 21, verse 30 to 35. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and they took Paul at 21 verse 30 to 35, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stair, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. Praise the Lord. Now, you can see from this passage that God used the government authority to rescue Paul the Apostle, from the hands of the people that wanted to kill him. God used the Roman soldiers to rescue Paul the Apostle. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I hope you can hear me clearly. I don't know what is wrong with the network on my Wi-Fi. Now, as I was saying, in this passage we just read in Acts 21. Of the Apostles, chapter 21, verse 30 to 35. You can see that God used the government at that time, the Roman government that was ruling the nation of Israel at that time. God used them to rescue Paul the Apostle from the hands of the people that wanted to kill him. Yeah, because they began to beat him. They began to seriously beat him. Yeah, because they hated him for the gospel he was preaching. Yeah, they hated him with passion. They hated him seriously for the gospel of Jesus Christ he was preaching. And what added to the hatred was that this man, known as Paul the Apostle, was initially a Pharisee. He was one of them. Yeah, he was one of the religious leaders. Yeah, and he was even persecuting Christians before God arrested him and converted him. So they were furious that one of them would suddenly turn against them and start following Jesus and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so they were beating this man of God. They were beating him to kill him. So the intention was not to just beat him and let him go. they were actually going to kill him. But somehow the news got to the soldiers. Yeah, and immediately the soldiers were mobilized to where the uproar was going on. And we saw how they were able to take him away from them. So this is one of the examples in the Bible of how God used the people in the government to rescue his own people. How God used the government officials, the military, yeah, the military officers, how God used them to save and protect his own people. Yeah, so we should acknowledge that most of the laws that comes from the government are actually for our own good and protection, and we should thank God for that. Now let us also look at 23 verse 10, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23 verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. So you can see this was another scenario where they were actually going to kill him again. Yeah, and the captain of the soldiers commanded the soldiers to go and rescue him. Now let us look at another instance in Acts 25, verse 15 to 16. We're going to see another example there, Acts 25:15-16. About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priest and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. Before that, he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Okay, maybe I should read from verse 14. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, there is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priest and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die. Before that, he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Yeah, so here, you can also see how this government official called Festus was talking to King Agrippa. Yeah, if you read from verse 13, you will see that this man Festus was talking to King. He was talking to King Agrippa concerning the case of Paul and how he did not release him to them to be killed, because the Jews and the held and the leaders of the Jews, the chief priest, wanted to kill him. But this man refused to release Paul to them to be killed. Yeah, because it is not the manner of Romans to just release anyone to be killed if that person have not been tried in the court and have not been able to plead his own, plead for himself or defend himself in the court. Yeah, so this is also confirming that God usually uses the government to protect his own people. God can use them, though there are cases where devil use them to fight God's people and sometimes even to destroy the lives of God's people. But God can also use the government of nations to save the lives of his own people, to preserve the lives of his own people. Yeah. So let us move to the second point. As I told you, we're going to be looking at 4 points tonight. The second point says, pray for the government. Okay, pray for the government and the government officials. Pray for the government in your country and pray for the government officials. Let us look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Cause not the king, no, not in thy thoughts, and cause not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So the Bible says, don't cause the king, and don't even do that in your thoughts. The king here represents the government officials, the president of your country, the government leaders. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Don't even think negative concerning them. You should pray for them instead. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that Satan will not use them. Pray that Satan will not control them. Pray that God should use them, that they will obey the will of God and not the will of the enemy. Pray that God should save their souls and lead them into repentance. Yeah, so these are the prayers you should do for the government of your country. Pray that God would visit them and change their lives so that they can also change the lives of the people they are leading. pray that God would visit them and convict them of their sins and bring them to the point of genuine repentance, where they will surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. Yeah. So this is how you should pray for those who are in government positions. Not that you should join the people that speak negative about them and abuse them, curse them. You shouldn't join those people. Now let us look at another scripture. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, this is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Yeah, this is Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and of course, he was writing also to the church that Timothy was pastoring, because Timothy was a pastor of a church at that time. So he was telling him that make sure you lead the people in your church to give supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanks for all men. So he was telling him that lead the people in your church to do all these prayers for all men, and not only all men, but for the people in authority. That is what verse 2 says. For kings, for all that are in authority. Yeah, so we should pray for those that are in authority. We should do prayers of supplication for them. We should pray all kinds of prayers for them. We should intercede for them. Yeah, we should pray for those that are in authority. We should pray for them. If we don't do this, Satan will use them against us. The kingdom of darkness will use them against us if we don't pray for them. And you should know that if the government of your country begins to function against you, you cannot have peace. Yeah, you cannot have peace. And you won't even be able to serve God as you wanted. Yeah, because some countries now, they no longer allow preachers to preach on the streets anymore. You can't just preach on the streets and tell people about Jesus. You can't do that. In some countries, they will have you arrested. Yeah. In fact, you can't publicly speak against some of the things. In some countries, you must not publicly speak against some of the evil things going on in the society. For instance, things like homosexuality. Yeah, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism. You must not publicly speak against those things. If you are caught, you'll be imprisoned. Yeah, so now, the thing is, if Christians in those countries have prayed a lot for the government of their countries. It's possible that God will not allow the government to come with those laws that is now against Christians. I don't know if you're getting my point. If the Christians in those countries had been praying for the government and for the leaders in the government, Satan wouldn't use those leaders to give laws that are injurious to God's people and to God's work. Yeah, so this is why we have to pray for those in government. Because if we don't, Satan will turn them against us. And you can't tell how far Satan can use them against you. In fact, Satan can use them to work, you know, you can use them to get you arrested for no reason. They will just, their soldiers will just walk into your house and arrest you and carry you into prison. And then you tell them, what have I done wrong? They'll tell you, shut up your mouth. Yeah, so Satan can use them against Christians. But if we pray for the government, Satan will not be able to use them against us. So this is why you have to pray. Satan can use them to freeze your bank account. I'm telling you what they have done in many countries. For no reason, they will just freeze your bank account. And they will just find one offense and they will say you committed an offense you did not commit. And then you begin to suffer. So the government of nations is the greatest weapon of the devil to use against Christians. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The government of nations is the greatest weapon of the devil, of Satan, to use to fight us, to fight Christians. So that is why we must pray for them. We must pray a lot. Because Satan can use them. And if Satan begins to use them, there's nothing you can do. Because it's only God that will rescue you from their hands. Yeah. Let us move to the third point. The third point says, perform required national and community duties. As a Christian, we should perform required national and community duties. So any duty that is required of us to perform, or any duty that is required of the citizens of a nation to perform, we Christians who are also citizens of the same country should perform the duties as well. So don't say because you are a Christian, then you don't want to perform the duties the government is asking you to perform. Inasmuch as what they are telling you to do is not contrary to the will of God, you should also do your own part. You should do those duties that is required by the government. Let us look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Matthew 22:21. Okay, let me read from verse 17 so that you can understand. Matthew 22, I read from verse 17. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So in this place, some people came to Jesus and they were trying to test him, or they were trying to lead him to fall. Yeah, they wanted him to say something that is against the government so that they can use the government to have him arrested. But Jesus was able to answer them wisely. So they were saying, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Tribute is like tax, paying tax. So they were saying, is it lawful to pay? It's more like saying, is it lawful to pay tax to the government? Verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. Yeah, he said, show me a tribute money, that is, give me one of the money that you people spend. And in those days, they spend coins. And they don't spend paper currency that we spend today. So they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? That is, who is the person whose image was drawn on this coin? And then all of them shouted in verse 21, they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so Jesus said, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So there are things that are Caesar's, and there are things that are God's. That is, there are things that belong to the government that Christians should render to the government. And there are things that belong to God that Christians should render to God. Now, God would want us to render those things to the government because they are not, it's not a sin to do that. Yeah. Even if the government are going to use the taxes they collect for wrong purposes, or if they were going to steal people's taxes and not use it to develop the nation, that is none of your business. Yeah, you shouldn't say all these taxes they are collecting from us, they are not using it to develop our country. They are embezzling this money, so I'm not going to pay the tax. Yeah, if you refuse to pay the tax, you are sinning against God. Yeah, because God wants us to render to the government whatever they have from us. Yeah. So, and God knows what to do to the government if they misuse people's money. God knows how to judge them. But you give to them what they have for, in as much as they are not telling you to bow down to another God. They're not telling you to worship idols. They're not telling you to commit sin. Yeah, so if it is just to pay tax, then pay tax. Yeah. So that was what Jesus meant by saying, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So there are things that are Caesar's, and we should render it to them. Even if we don't feel comfortable with it, just do what you have to do. Yeah, and let God deal with the government. So you just do what you have to do. Praise the Lord. Let us move to another topic. Another verse. Another verse. Romans. Open your Bibles to Romans 13, verse 7. Romans 13, verse 7. I believe you have opened that place right there where you are. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Render therefore. Okay, maybe I should read from verse 6, Romans 13, from verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So you can see here, Apostle Paul was saying that the people in government are God's ministers. And everything they are doing for the citizens is God's work. Everything they are doing for the citizens is God's work. So they are representing God to protect the citizens, to care for the citizens. Yeah, so Apostle Paul said, render to all their dues. He was talking to the Roman, the Christians in Rome, the Roman Christians, was telling them that render to all their dues. That is, give them everything they ask for. If they ask for tax, pay the tax. Yeah, whatever they ask for, pay them. Yeah. So that your conscience can be clear. So let us give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to the government the things that are government. The things that the government asks from you, give to them. And God will be pleased with you. Now let us move to another point. The last point says, we must obey God above all. Yeah, that's the last point. We must obey God above all. Which means that even though we ought to obey the government, we must obey God above them. Praise the Lord. You must obey God above the government laws, above the government policies, above the government leadership and instructions. We must obey God above them all. So, which means that if God commands something and the government gave a law that is contrary to what God commanded, we must disobey the government and obey God, because God is above the government. God is above all government of nations. So we must be ready to disobey the government to obey God. And there are always cases where the government laws goes against God's laws. And we have many examples today in many countries. Yeah, especially the Western countries. Yeah, there are many of their policies that goes against God's laws. Yeah, so we must be ready to disobey such laws that violate God's laws. Let us look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So in this place, some religious leaders were trying to stop Peter and John from preaching the gospel. So these are not even government officials. These are religious leaders trying to stop Peter and John from preaching the gospel. But they said, they responded by saying, you leaders should judge in your heart if it is proper to listen to you more than God, if it is proper to obey your own commandment more than God's commandment. Yeah, so it is improper, it is wrong to obey man above God, whoever the person is, whether the person is the highest religious leader in the world, or the person is the president of a country, or is the president of your country, whoever the person is, it is wrong. Very wrong to obey man more than God, to obey man above God. It is a serious crime in the kingdom of God. And anyone that is guilty of such will be punished by God. Let us look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 29. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men." Yeah, so we must obey God above men. Yeah, we must disobey men to obey God, especially when men have come up with some laws and standards that is contrary to God's law. So you must be ready to disobey them. In fact, you should be ready to disobey your parents, your spouse, your children. You should be ready to reject any opinion, any suggestion, any advice, any counsel, any idea that is coming from any man. When such idea or suggestion or counsel is contrary to God's commandments, you should be willing to disobey man in order to obey God. Yeah, I remember when I stepped into full-time ministry, my parents were not in support. In fact, all my family members and relatives were not in support. They do not want me to go into ministry, especially the way I want to go into ministry, because I told them I have to leave my job to serve God full time. So they were not comfortable with that. They did not support. Nobody supported. Nobody, including my parents. Yeah. But I did not listen to them. I chose to obey God than man. Yeah, and even after that time, there were some pastors I went to for counseling that also did not support. They also did not support. They felt you can walk and also serve God at the same time. So they felt like, why can't you serve God while you are still working, while you are still doing secular jobs? Yeah, but I know what God wants from my life. I know that is not God's will for me to walk for money. Yeah, God wants me to work for Him and not for money. Yeah, so I disobeyed or I rejected the counsel of those pastors, people you may call spiritual fathers. Yeah, I did not follow their counsel, because I was persuaded that God wants me to go into full-time ministry. Yeah, so we should be ready and very willing to disobey men, whoever that person may be, in order to obey God. Yeah, like today now, I know some ministers that everything they do is what their spiritual father tells them to do. They have not started to do what God himself is telling them to do. So everything they do is what their pastor says, and not what God says, and not what the word of God says, but what their pastor says. So these people are not following the Bible. These ministers, they are not following what God commanded in the Bible. They are just following traditions. They will say, this is how we do in this church. So you also have to do the same. This is how we do in this church. So whether you are a pastor, wherever you are, you have to follow the way we do in this church. Is it about the way we do or what God says, what God has commanded in his word? Yeah, a lot of practices going on in many churches today that is not biblical. A lot of doctrines and activities going on in many churches today that is not scriptural. Yeah, and if you ask them, they say that is what we do here. That is what we do in this place. So if you come here, you have to just do what we do. But what they are doing is not biblical. Yeah, so we must be ready to disobey any man, whoever that person is. Yeah, even if that person is highly anointed and that person can work mighty miracles, you must be willing to disobey that person and reject that person's counsel. Inasmuch as the counsel is contrary to the word of God. Inasmuch as whatever they are telling you to do is not in line with the Bible. So don't follow. Don't obey. Don't yield. So that the judgment of God, so that the judgment of God that is upon those people will not come upon you too. Yeah, because if you enter a church and you saw that they are doing things that is not biblical, and you join them to do the same thing, the judgment of God upon them will come upon you automatically, immediately, because you decided to surrender to the darkness and to the devil. God will judge you too. So, let us fear God and hate evil. And God will bless us and show us mercy. Yeah, so we are going to stop here. And next week we are going to move to point number 10. If you have any question, you can ask now, or you can ask on the group. You can ask on the group on our Telegram group later. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have taught us tonight from your word. Thank you for showing us what our role is to the government even the government in our own countries. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us from your word how important it is to offer our own duties that the government require from us or demand from us, even the payment of taxes. Thank you for showing us these things, that it is that we ought to obey the government in those things that is not contrary to your will. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you also for showing us that you can use the government to defend us, to protect us, and to rescue us. Thank you, Father. We ask, O Lord, that you intervene in the government of our nations, both in my own nation and in the nations of everyone here. Father, intervene now and enforce your will to prevail in the government of our nations. In Jesus' name, we ask that you stop everything Satan is doing through the government of our nations. Father, put an end to them now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. I also ask that you help everyone here to remember to pray for the government of their countries every time they pray in their closets. In Jesus' name. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.